Taking the Deadlock Out of Wedlock. Chapter 3. The Technique of Repairing a Cracked Marriage. This book is less concerned with good things to do to save a marriage than with good things to believe. Emotional energy is non-existent unless first of all one discovers good news to believe about the problem. Believing right things soon leads to doing right things. And then problems begin melting away. The reason is that believing the real truth activates secret, dried-up springs of motivation within the human soul. Here are five truths solid as the granite hills, each of them an item of good news about your marriage. You will not be burdened with duties to perform that are beyond your strength. You may, however, need strength to believe that the good news is true, because mankind's favorite obsession is believing bad news. God is more concerned that your marriage become a happy one than you are. He invented marriage. If marriage proves too difficult for human beings, its failure naturally reflects on the wisdom and reputation of its inventor. Some people troubled about marital problems asked Jesus for advice. He answered, "A man will leave his father and mother and unite with his wife, and the two will become one. So they are no longer two, but one. Men must not separate, then, what God has joined together. The point is that you have someone working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to ensure that your marriage is a happy one. Don't resist what he is doing. Each marriage is as important to God as if it were the only one on earth. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without your father's consent. You are worth much more than many sparrows. So, when God says, you are worth so much, he includes you and your marriage. When a marriage begins to crack, we feel desperately alone. It's good news to realize that someone cares, for once you recognize this fact, the problem ceases to be yours. It becomes his problem too, and you can stop asking, what am I going to do now? And begin asking, Lord, how can I cooperate with you while you solve this problem? Ornery spouses can become unornery. Often all God needs to make a marriage happy is for just one spouse to be willing to cooperate with him in making certain changes. The changes will have to be his work, for, when it comes to solving problems like this, the Bible recognizes that we are without strength. It boils down to our letting the Lord heal the marriage. This is not a laissez-faire cop-out. There is something for you to do, but that something is not an impossible work. It is the truth you must believe. If there is one ornery spouse in the picture, God already has one perverse will to deal with. If you add to the problem by choosing also to be perverse, he is stymied. Even heaven can't save a marriage if both partners are unwilling to let God save it. But if one spouse chooses to cooperate, that's all God needs in order to be free to go to work. The Bible recognizes that human beings can thwart God's good news for them if they persist in rejecting his grace. But it offers encouragement to believe that one marriage partner can be the instrument whereby God changes the other for the better. It says that the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his believing wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. That word sanctified means put into a positive relationship with God because of the believing spouse's cooperation with him. In other words, the spouse who needs to be changed is influenced by the one who is in touch with God. But now another problem comes to light. In the intimate relationships of marriage, we get to know one another without pretense or veneer. Your spouse knows whether or not you are genuinely unselfish. We cannot help showing how selfish we can be, apart from the grace of God. So, when your spouse sees evidence of God's Spirit working in you, he or she will be far more likely to be receptive to the impressions of the Holy Spirit than otherwise. That's one way God sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. God's favorite method of revealing himself is not through lightning strikes and earthquakes, but by transforming ornery people. As the warm sun melts a block of ice, so this kind of love frequently succeeds in melting an icy heart of unbelief. As Paul puts it, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Perhaps wrong attitudes on your part have provoked your spouse into unpleasantness. The change God can bring about is good news, especially if you are the one who has been primarily at fault for this is something you can correct with God's help. Your transformation can be God's means of saving your spouse. To be saved means to be changed from being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance to being reconciled to him. This could be especially true in a marriage where only one partner is a professing Christian who exhibits ornery behavior. Such behavior nullifies the Christian's profession and makes it appear that God is impotent to save people from themselves. Nothing can make ordinary human beings more ornery than believing such bad news. If you have been a stumbling block in this regard, maybe you need look no further to find the cause of your marital unhappiness. What a person believes about God determines what kind of person he or she is. This is because of an unerring Bible principle, the principle of righteousness by faith. It's really as simple as 2 and 2 equaling 4. Good news is the communication of a message of truth concerning what Christ has done and is doing to save us. It centers in his sacrifice of himself on the cross. It's not only the pie-in-the-sky salvation beyond death. It means peace, happiness, reconciliation, transformation of heart here and now. To see and appreciate this is what the Bible calls faith, and such faith works to effect righteousness in the heart of the believer. It ends the great emotional energy drain, for faith energizes. Faith works through love. The Greek word for work is energio, from which we derive our word energize. This is how guilt, fear, alienation, suspicion are melted away from the heart. Let's say it again. All these wonderful things we are supposed to do are impossible for us to do unless we believe what Christ has done for us and is doing for us. Believing bad news paralyzes you. Believing gospel good news energizes you. An unbelieving spouse who does not see this good news demonstrated in the life of his or her marriage partner is deprived of the most effective means God can use in making the unbeliever unornery. On the other hand, the unbelieving spouse who daily witnesses this good news will have a hard time resisting it. If there is hope for you, there is hope for your spouse, because God made the two of you one. The devil specializes in telling married couples they are mismatched. When two people marry, they may indeed be mismatched, but God intends them to become increasingly suited to each other, and they will increasingly become one if they do not frustrate God's plan for them. His word is, the two will become one. Not the two ought to become one, or the two should be one, or it would be nice if the two could become one. No, the two will become one. In other words, God's plan is to make people who think they are mismatched, the devil tempts them to think so, become happily matched. This is what his grace accomplishes. But this only happens if they allow God to work out his plan in them. In other words, stop resisting him. If what we have said thus far is true,